Hello, this is the Daily Tech, and today I'm showing some more tech news with you. It's going to be really interesting, so you stick around until the end, and you'll be able to hear all the latest tech news. If you're watching on YouTube, or even listening, then do click the subscribe button, as that way you'll be able to see all the latest tech news by me. And same goes for if you're on Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts, there should be a heart or follow button. If you click that, you'll get the same thing. Also, all the articles I do talk about will be linked in the description below, so if you want to go and read them for yourself, then you can. But anyways, let's get into it. So, first up, article by Android Authority, Motorola's affordable Moto G9 power packs a 60-hour battery. You heard that right, 60 hours. This is interesting phone. So, the Moto G Power offers battery life to spare, but there's already a sequel that promises even greater longevity. So, Motorola has unveiled the Moto G9 Power, a low-cost variant of the G9, with a 6,000 mAh battery. That's the largest ever in one of the company's phones, and considerably larger than the 5,000 mAh pack in the G Power. Motorola claims a huge battery is enough to offer 60 hours between charges, which is about 2.5 days. But that is very likely, depending on your circumstances. If you use it a lot, then obviously it won't last as much as say if you're to use it for messaging, stuff like that. You can probably find out what they use for that test. But they do say there is a real chance that it might last a weekend, even with some energy to spare, which is just really good. So I think for a general phone, so far this is looking really good. So the Moto G9 Power is otherwise a very much modern Motorola budget phone. It revolves around a large 6.8-inch Full HD Plus screen, a relatively modest Snapdragon 662 chip, which I've never actually heard of as far as I can remember. But by the sound of things with the numbering and stuff, that does sound quite good. And for most people, generally, these Snapdragon chips do absolutely fine. 4GB of RAM, 128GB of expandable storage. That means a microSD card, so I'd assume. There's a 64MP primary rear camera with pixel binning to improve low light shots. 2MP macro camera, 2MP depth sensor, and a 16MP front camera to get those absolutely amazing selfies. Also, you can't hear it, but I'm looking out my window and people are setting off fireworks. That is odd. The 5th of November. Did anything happen on the 5th of November? I can't remember. Something happened. Is it the 5th? No, it's the 4th of November. Well, they're clearly a bit behind. Oh, well, right. You won't find 5G or wireless charging on this phone. So 20-watt fast charging, though, over a wired connection is absolutely fine. Even though with this 6,000 mAh battery, 6,000 mAh battery, it isn't exactly going to charge super fast, but I mean, it'll charge fast enough. Android 10 and is water repellent if you're caught out in the rain. But don't expect this to do any like full-on water resistance. So of course, a big feature of this phone is the battery life. It will first launch in Europe for about 200 euros, which is about $234 US, making it a very easy pick if you want an affordable phone that lasts for long stretches. Whether or not it's an option depends on where you live. So it'll be coming to selected countries in Asia, Latin America, Middle East, and in the weeks ahead. But there's no mention of a North America debut. And I assume it'll probably be coming to the UK as well, they generally do. So, yeah, I think this is a really good phone. You can see from this image, the chin is a bit chunky, but and the bezels aren't exactly thin. But I think for most people who just want a budget phone, something that can do really well, I think this is an absolutely perfect phone, especially if you require longer battery life. So, yeah. Next up, some more phone news. But not so much news, it's more of a concept, but it's a concept video. So Xiaomi Mi 11 Family concept video imagines a flagship smartphone with a notchless and portless design with a Mi Mix Alpha inspired rear. And this article is by Notebook Check. So there are great expectations for the successor for the Xiaomi Mi 10, which may be called the Mi 11 or Mi 20, or some other surprise name. I mean, these companies have been saying some really random things, like some really random naming recently. We'll go to the S10 to the S20. And then we'll go to the S21. Well, that's what we're expecting anyway. Which just makes no sense, but there we are. So, it is widely believed that Xiaomi will deliver the Mi 10 successor with an under-display camera solution. However, the video render does go further by removing all of the ports from the flagship device, allowing you to have a seamless design. I think, even though this is very unlikely, I think that would look amazing. The rear of the concept of the Xiaomi Mi 11 should be recognisable to fans of Xiaomi. It clearly borrows its design from the high concept Mi Mix Alpha. This means the main smartphone camera system is housed in a strip that runs down the entire length of the smartphone body, which looks really good. The designer even dares to suggest that the camera arrangement would feature a 192 megapixel lens. Whew. Apart from that, we're expecting a Snapdragon 875, which obviously makes sense. These are generally flagship phones. And although the multi-angular curved display might not please everyone, this particular concept phone won't lie flat on the table either. So there are some issues that you would find with this device from the current leaks. Remember, these are just kind of leaks and concepts. Either way, I think it would look really good. Probably not happening, but I think if they could, I think it would be highly popular. The no port thing would be interesting to see how that goes. Generally, Xiaomi haven't really made a push towards these things, like different trends. I feel like they could do it though. I mean, I'm not sure what solution they would use. Obviously, it would have wireless charging, that would be no doubt. But I mean, are people ready for just wireless charging? Or would you want still a wired kind of thing that you could connect to the phone? Maybe it could be like some sort of magnetic connector, a bit like MagSafe. Just different, I guess there could be something like that. But I would assume it would just have wireless charging. So yeah, it's kind of cool though. Next up, article by Kit Guru. Sony confirms that the PS5 will ship with HDMI 2.1 cable, following confusion. So though many online influencers and critics have received review units of the PlayStation 5, embargoes prevented them from confirming whether the PS5, which can support HDMI 2.1 cables, would ship with one in the box. This was a lack of security, which was enhanced by the fact that Sony themselves didn't comment on whether the console would come with HDMI 2.1. Some people did think that the console manufacturer had opted for a HDMI 2.0 cable, which is significantly cheaper, though can still output 4K 60fps. However, this console is capable of 4K 120. Furthermore, according to GamePro, the HDMI cable, which arrived in the box, was missing the label of ultra high speed, which is typically printed on HDMI 2.1 cables. Fortunately for those who have pre-ordered a PlayStation 5, it appears the console will indeed ship with the newer HDMI 2.1 cable, which was confirmed by GamePro, who, after reporting the console would not come with HDMI 2.1 cable, was later contacted by Sony themselves to refute this. Which would make sense, because some people do care about that. While it is unlikely that many AAA titles will take advantage of the 8K or 4K at 120Hz at 50fps, many smaller titles will be able to hit these targets quite easily. So it's obviously going to be nice that they're including this in the box, and it would make sense. Like, Xbox are doing it as well, Microsoft and also. Yeah. Next article by Intelligent CIO. Only for the most intelligent. I'm not sure if you can hear the fireworks outside I've talked about earlier. They're getting a bit louder. I think they're a bit closer now. Yeah. So, if you do hear it, just ignore it. Or listen if you really want to listen to things exploding in the air. That's also quite fun. So, HTC Vive Enterprise Solutions are built around enabling businesses of all sizes. I'm not even say what it is, I just said it's by Intelligent CIO. So Mindware signs a distribution agreement with HTC Vive, or HTC. So of course HTC Vive Enterprise are about enhancing and enabling businesses of all sizes to more creativity and all that stuff. While others seek profitability and a more affordable entry point to VR. HTC's wide products cater to every need. So Nicholas Agarite, general manager, golfer. Minder said, are you ready for the new virtual reality? This is a question we challenge regional enterprises with. Virtual reality is a trend that is gaining considerable traction in the enterprise space at the moment. So, of course, it enables powerful ways for users to do lots of things. I'm just going to kind of skip through the not-so-important parts. So, today, VR is able to eliminate traditional physical barriers and provides incredibly immersive experiences. So, with VR gaining popularity in the MENA region, we believe that there is an enormous amount of potential for HTC's best-in-class technology that will usher a new age for the enterprise. We're excited our newest partnership and look forward to introducing our innovative solutions to the region through our channel ecosystem. So one of HTC's innovations, namely the Vive Focus Plus, features an all-in-one VR headset for enterprise designed for quality and portability. The newly added dual 6-dock controllers increase comfort for extended VR sessions and enhance optics. The Vive Focus Plus blurs the lines between reality and virtual reality. Of course, they're going to say stuff like that. So the Vive Pro Eye Office creates more immersive virtual simulations with precise eye tracking that is ideal for a wide range of environments and applications, such as training, design, construction, and more. Finally, the Vive Sync is the all-in-one meeting and collaboration solution for VR, which is in beta stage, but it's currently being used all over the world. So yeah. Anyway, yeah, so VR is pretty much the future in technology. It just is. Well, I mean, I think it is anyway. I mean, the fact that I just think it is. What it is just so good, and it's getting so much better. I think all these collaborations and stuff, HTC makes some of the best VR headsets, so I think this year. Next up, OnePlus Nord N10 5G and N100 UK pre-orders detailed. So OnePlus has detailed the availability of the Nord N10 5G and N100 smartphones for the UK. So the OnePlus Nord N10 5G will start its pre-orders on November the 14th and becomes available from Amazon UK and OnePlus stores on November the 27th. So nearly at the end of the month, the N10 5G comes in a single Midnight Ice variant with 6GB of RAM and 128GB of storage, priced at £329. Talked about these phones, I don't remember. Oh no, 5G, that's why. The N100 will be available on John Lewis, Amazon, Free, OnePlus, and all that other good stuff, and through OnePlus's own website on November the 10th. And it comes in Midnight Frost, 4GB of RAM and 64GB of storage for £179. Just something to talk about. So yeah. Now we know about that. So Apple stores in England will offer a click and collect service during lockdown. So obviously, right now, stores have to close again in England because of the lockdown, and Apple obviously are no exception. So Apple will offer, this article was, that one was by GSM Arena. Next, this one was by 9to5 Mac. So, Apple will offer storefront service at its retail stores in England starting this Friday, so tomorrow. And the temporary pickup format will allow Apple to remain open and continue serving customers in a limited capacity during the launch of the iPhone 12 mini and iPhone 12 Pro Max, even as obviously the lockdown. So, England COVID-19 lockdown begins on November the 5th and extends until at least December the 2nd. The new restrictions specify that all non-essential stores will close to walk-in customers, but retailers may still offer delivery and click and collect services, obviously because you want to keep the stores open. So Apple's Express storefronts allow customers to collect online orders at a safe and convenient pickup window. So yeah. So Apple's 38 stores in the UK have largely remained open since June, although new restrictions forced one location in both Northern Ireland and Wales temporarily reclosed. Two locations in London transitioned to express service in October. So if you're planning to pre-order the iPhone 12 mini, iPhone 12 Pro Max, choosing contact delivery is still the safest and most efficient way. However, if you really want to, stores offering click and collect service may have limited hours as well, but you can do that. It's just not as safe and not as convenient. So yeah. This is a interesting one. So it's articles by BBC. So Fortnite to return to iPhones via Nvidia Cloud Gaming Service, which is interesting. So Nvidia has developed its own version of GeForce Cloud Gaming that runs on, well, they've developed a version of this, which runs on in the mobile web browser Safari. Apple will not get the cut of virtual items sold within the Battle Royale fighting title when it's played, and there's really nothing Apple can do about this. Apple is embroiled in a legal fight with Fortnite's Epic developer Epic, which led to the iPhone maker to remove the game from its iOS App Store. Epic has claimed that the 30% commission Apple charging on in-app gaming purchases is anti-competitive, but Apple has accused Epic of wanting a free ride. But of course, this has been going on for ages. So, of course, unlike Android, Apple does not allow games or other apps to be loaded onto its phones or tablets via app stores other than its own. However, it does not restrict third-party services that on Safari or other web browsers. So that's how they're doing this. So Nvidia currently offers GeForce Now for Mac, Windows, Android, and Chromebook computers. It has not been formally announced it's coming to iOS, but is expected to do so before winter holidays. A spokesman from Nvidia did decline a comment, I assume the BBC asked. So in theory, Apple mobile device owners will be able to play Fortnite via Nvidia's service without charge. Epic will get what they want, Apple won't, but there we are, they're rich enough. No, but they removed them anyway, it's not going to affect them. So yeah, one recent review of GeForce Now praised the platform's performance as well. However, there was occasional degradation of video quality, so this is going to be what iOS users will be using if they want to play Fortnite on their iOS device. And I think it's good that there's a solution. There was a good chance that there wouldn't have been, but I think now this is really good. And the fact that Nvidia can get their GeForce Cloud Gaming Service on there as well is obviously good as well. Yeah, and finally for today, some Nintendo news. Nintendo reports extraordinary sales, profit up 200%, which is obviously a lot. And this was by Eurogamer. So Nintendo has recorded huge profits for 2020. And raised its financial forecasts for the year as it sold millions more Switch consoles and tens of millions more copies of both new and evergreen games. So Super Mario 3D All-Stars has shifted 5.21 million copies in just 12 days, so Nintendo sales data only runs up till the 30th of September. A total number of people perhaps boosted by Nintendo's bizarre decision to remove it from sale at the end of March. Animal Crossing New Horizons is now an incredible 26 million sales since launch in March, which is obviously a lot. Pokemon Sword and Shield sales have grown 19.2 million combined units, which make it the best-selling pair of Pokemon games since the legendary Gold and Silver back in 1999, so been a while. Home Exercise Game Ring Fit Adventure sold another 3.1 million copies over the past 6 months, accelerating from its launch sales to 5.8 million copies sold overall since its arrival last year. 15 of Nintendo's own games sold at least a million additional copies since the beginning of the financial year in April, including Switch, Star Wars, such as Breath of the Wild and Smash Bros. Ultimate, which added another 2.3 million copies apiece, which is obviously quite a lot. Switch sales for the past 6 months were up 80% as well, while game sales were 71% up. 12.5 million Switch consoles were sold alongside a cool 100 million Switch games. So Nintendo Switch is on 68.3 million consoles sold total, which means it's overtaken the NES to become the second biggest seller in terms of Nintendo's own home consoles. Calling a Switch a home console is Nintendo's own definition, behind only the Wii. The Wii is absolutely amazing. It's not going to overtake anytime soon. All this does translate into some massive profits. So with half year sales up 73% to $7.4 billion, and an incredible 209% year on year rise in operating profit to $2.8 billion. Nintendo does not go into why it's had such a stellar year, but I think with what's going on, people have just bought more games and Switches because they need something to do. That would explain it, I think. So, yeah. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. it was an interesting one. So yeah, do comment down below if there's any tech news you want to put about, I'll respond. But apart from that, have a good day.